This is Donnie Rose, and you're tuned into Word Life, where we unpack the intersections of literary art, music, politics, and revolution. Art imitates life. Life is often a series of rebellions. Let's dive into the messages inspired by the movements. It can be hard to decide which songs or albums of Stevie Wonder's are his greatest offerings. There are very few musicians in the history of the recording industry who has had a career close to Stevie's.
Would you like to go with me?
For the past six decades, the man born Stephen Hardaway Morris has been one of the most revered creatives in American music, and has the accolades and the adoration of fans around the globe to prove his invaluable worth. Many music critics and fans consider 1976 Songs in the Key of Life to be Stevie's quintessential standout album, and it would be hard to argue that Stevie, or anyone else for that matter, could have composed a better body of work. But among the albums in his stellar discography that give Songs in the Key of Life a run for its money is 1973's Inner Visions. At the time of its release, Inner Visions was Stevie's 16th album and peaked at number 4 on Billboard within a month of its release. The New York Times described his musical prowess on Inner Visions as a gang and a genius, producing, composing, arranging, singing, and on several tracks, playing all the accompanying instruments. But what signified Inner Visions from other previous releases was the range of topics it covered during a pivotal moment in Black American history. With songs that tackled issues such as drug abuse, like Too High,
I'm too high, too high, but ain't touch the sky,
and critiques of American leadership such as He's Mr. Know-It-All, Stevie took on many of the most critical issues of the day in a post-Vietnam, post-civil rights leaders assassination era. One of the most powerful songs on Inner Visions for me is Living for the City, which tells the story of a Mississippi-born young Black man seeking to escape the overt racism of the Deep South for what he assumed would be greener pastures in the bright light megatropolis of New York City, only to discover that systemic racism against Black folks also followed its own migration pattern.
A boy is born in hard-time Mississippi.
Stevie begins Living for the City with the following lyrics. A boy is born in hard-time Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for many, and you'd best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city.
She hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city.
Stevie sets the tone early on for a young man who's looking to flee the deeply oppressive deep southern state of Mississippi in hopes of brighter light somewhere else. We find out that this young man comes from a pretty working class background where his parents, you know, do menial tasks and struggle to make ends meet. He wants something better. I'm sure that he visualizes something better, but he may not be necessarily as aware of the relatively covert racism that may be ahead of him. And Stevie does a great job unpacking that as the song progresses. His sister's Black, but she is sure enough pretty. Her skirt is short, but Lord, her legs are sturdy. To walk to school, She's got to get up early. Her clothes are old, but never are they dirty. Living just enough for the city. Her brother's smart. He's got more sense than many. His patience long, but soon he won't have any. To find a job is like a haystack needle, because where he lives, they don't use colored people. Living just enough for the city. In this part of the song, Stevie focuses on the main character's sibling, his sister, who he describes as black, but sure enough pretty. Presumably, his sister is darker skin complected, because it's obvious that the character is African American, but the reference of her being black but sure enough pretty in relation to the time frame in which the song was written probably is speaking to Black America's complex relationship with colorism. When he goes on to say that her skirt is short, but her legs are sturdy, and how she has to get up early, and her clothes being old, but never are they dirty, it appears as if he's referring to the pride she has in caring for herself and making sure that she looks presentable and respectable and etc., even in the midst of coming from relatively impoverished background. On the inverse, he talks about the main character as his sister's brother, saying that he's got more sense than many, that his patience is long, soon he won't have any, because trying to find a job is like a haystack needle where they live, because where they live don't use colored people. Again, amplifying the idea that the main character has to move on to presumably greener pastures to find a fair shake. But what we come to learn in just the next interlude, the grass is not always greener on the other side. The next part of Living for the City is a dialogue-driven interlude where our main character finally arrives in the big city of New York.
That's what New York City. Hey, bus driver, I'm getting on that horse. Thanks a lot. Wow. New York, just like I pictured it. Skyscrapers and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Hey, look here, run this across the street for me right quick, okay? Run this across the street for me.
What? Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell, nigger.
God. No.
What this brief interlude does is create a bridge between the optimism of the beginning of the song, where the main character is assuming that all would be well upon leaving the dogged racism of Mississippi and venturing into the bright lights of New York City. He steps off the bus with this great hope, this great zeal for where he's arrived. He runs into a street hustler. He thinks that it's all good to run this little package up the street, and then encounters the aggressiveness of New York police. Before he knows it, he's in front of a judge and has been sent away for an extended period of time, a fate that he probably assumed would have found him had he stayed in Mississippi, but never would have assumed at the time would have found him in the bright lights of NYC. His hair is long. His feet are hard and gritty. He spends his life walking the streets of New York City. He's almost dead from breathing in air pollution. He tried and fought, but to him there's no solution. Living just enough for the city. I hope you hear inside my voice of sorrow, and that it motivates you to make a better tomorrow. This place is cruel. Nowhere could be much colder. If we don't change, the world will soon be over. Living just enough. Stop giving just enough for the city. Stevie concludes the song talking about the main character basically roaming about the streets of New York City post-incarceration. He says that he's almost dead from breathing in air pollution and that he tried and that he fought, but for him that there's no solution. I thought it was also interesting that Stevie says that this place is cruel. Nowhere could be much colder. And when he says this place, the assumption here is that he's referring to the U.S. And what I feel like the narrative of the song is getting at is that for Black Americans, there are very few, if any, safe spaces anywhere in the United States, that the burning crosses that may have aligned the fields in Mississippi are not too much different than the concrete jungle and covert racism that finds us in spaces like New York City or San Francisco or Detroit or insert American place. Living for the city gives a strong message that yes, not only is the grass not always greener on the other side, but the blood flows just as richly if your skin is black and there is a thirst for your erasure. Thanks for tuning in to this week's edition of Word Life. Be sure to check us out next week for another episode, and be sure to leave a gold star review. Until then, peace, creativity, and revolution.